Welcome to the Midday for a Monday. I'm Norman Gilliland. Did he really say it, Emperor Joseph II, too many notes? Or did he say something sort of like that when he was referring to the abduction from the Seraglio by Mozart in the movie and the play Amadeus? Well, either way, it is the opera that put Mozart on the musical map, you might say. It was his real professional first big success, certainly in opera. And the Madison Opera is performing The Abduction from the Seraglio Friday, February 9th. That's this Friday already. And again on Sunday, the 11th, performances at 8 o'clock and 2:30 p.m., respectively, in the Capitol Theater, Overture Center for the Arts in Madison. The opera has a great part for a bass, and we have snagged the bass long enough to get some insights into The Abduction from the Seraglio. And welcome to the Midday, Matt Bowler.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me, Norman.
So this part, Osmin, that you sing, he's sort of the overseer of the palace in which this harem, this seraglio, is?
That's correct. Yes, it's a pretty typical base role in that you might paint him as the villain or an authority character, but he definitely has a lot to say throughout all parts of his vocal range. I mean, Mozart was a relatively young man when he wrote it, and he was still flexing his muscles, and he wrote it for a very talented bass in Vienna at the time, Ludwig Fischer.
And this is, in a way, it's a kind of a predecessor to the contemporary musical in that it has talking parts in between the singing.
Absolutely. It's a
Singspiel.
The Singspiel, absolutely. That's obviously Italian opera was very popular at the time, but in Vienna they were also trying to set up a new type of theater, and they had the spoken theater there already as a example and as a predecessor, but they really wanted to make a new drama that was in the audience's native language.
And speaking of languages, you're doing some kind of interesting things with this production by Madison Opera in that the singing will be in German with English supertitles, but the speaking in between the songs is going to be in English.
That's very true. I mean, this is it's a comedy. And if we were to do this entirely in German, when it comes time to do the dialogue, most of the audience, unless they are native German speakers, would have to look up at the supertitles, and then sometimes when that happens, people are laughing before you actually say the punchline, so...
Yeah, the timing is critical in comedy, isn't it?
Absolutely, and wordplay and timing is critical in comedy, so I think it's wonderful, actually, to have the dialogue in English, because it lets the audience, well, in on the jokes.
And in a way, it maybe brings it down in a modern sense to the level of a musical comedy a little bit more.
Absolutely. That's part of the idea.
Well, we have some sparkling examples from The Abduction from the Seraglio, and you can give us some insight as an insider into them, starting with Ach, ich liebte.
Yes, that is the first aria that Constanze sings in this. As far as plots go, this particular opera is not as involved as some of his later operas with Da Ponte, like, Marriage of Figaro.
Don Giovanni.
Right, of course. The plot is fairly simple. So Constanze is a Spanish noblewoman, and she, along with two servants of hers, have been abducted by pirates.
Always happens. Always makes for a good opera. Yeah, right. I hate it when that happens, but it is a good opera.
Arr.
And arg. Yeah, right. Does that word appear in the performance?
If only it did. If only it did. I don't. How would you say "arr" in German? Probably "arr."
Well, so, just one good eye patch will take care of it.
So they are abducted ostensibly by pirates, and then they're sold on the auction block to the richest man in Turkey. This is, of course, an exoticized, fictionalized Turkey from, the 1780s.
Very, very popular thing
in the
1780s. Yeah,
absolutely.
Things.
It was a Turkish craze. And so the... They is sold to the richest man in Turkey, whose name is the Pasha Zelim. And they have been there several months, and it turns out that the Pasha is very much in love with Constanze because she reminds him of a love that he had many, many years ago. And it is in this aria that she explains her very, very mixed feelings because she is in love with a character who we, the audience, have met, but she does not know is there yet, her fiancé of sorts.
Some dramatic Belmonte. Irony there.
Yes.
And this is part is sung by, in this case, we'll be hearing this from the John Elliott Gardiner English Baroque Soloists. Wonderful Mozart arias from a 25-year-old, in this case, from the abduction from the Seraglio.
Ach,
ich liebte. Yes, but I mean, perfect.
Yep.
Not without some effort, though, as you were saying, Matt.
Yeah, we were just chatting. It's kind of, I mean, we associate this sort of pristine perfection with Mozart, but I'm going to paraphrase a letter that, like, but he said, please do not mistake this effortlessness in my music. It does not come without a great deal of work. I mean, we wouldn't have him if we didn't have Leopold pushing him at a very young age. Yeah.
And now here's one of the arias that you're going to be singing in these performances this weekend, Friday mm-hmm. night and Sunday afternoon. As Asmin, you get to sing, Oh, How I Will Triumph?
Yes. Oh, wie will ich triumphieren, in German. And so Mozart wrote, when he found out that he was going to have for the premiere available the bass Ludwig Fischer, originally the role, as it was in the libretto, was for Osmin pretty scant. But he found out he was going to have this aria, this singer, and that not only this wonderful singer, but a singer that was very beloved by the public. And he wrote to, you know, I believe his father, he said, I'm going to give this bass another aria, and then I'm going to give him another aria in act three, because because he was just so enamored of what this gentleman could do. So this final aria is quite virtuosic. It ranges from it's one of the very lowest notes that opera composers in general have written for the stage. It is a low D below the bass staff, and the roll does extend to the top of the sort of classical bass range up to a high F. So the roll does encompass about an octave and, you know, a minor third, two octaves and a minor third, and in this particular aria, we will jump from the very, very low D to the very, very high D in the course of one beat.
Mozart kind of likes to do that, doesn't he?
He does.
He likes to jump like that.
He does. Wasn't there that, I forget who he was, it's apocryphal now, but the singer that he was writing Fiordaligi for...
the soprano.
Yes, and it was rumored that whenever she would sing a high note, she would tilt her head back when she'd sing a low note, and that he wrote the aria with all these ups and downs just to see her head go...
Bobbing like a chicken. Yeah, I checked the letters one time a few years ago. I could not find him referring to that, but who knows?
It must be apocryphal, but...
I'd hate to think so. Anyway. But here we go, some jumps, virtuosic leaps from the bass in this performance.
Oh, wie wird die triumphieren, wenn sie euch zum Richtplatz führen und die Hälse schnüren zu, schnüren zu, und die Hälse schnüren zu, schnüren zu.
Well, wasn't that fun? And you were singing along a little bit with that.
I
think it would be irresistible, even if the part weren't yours as Osmin. But,
oh, it's so ridiculous. It's such a ridiculous song. It's aria. It's fantastic.
And the original singer, this bass that you've referred to as, he was actually a composer.
He was. Ludwig Fischer was also a composer, not obviously of Mozart's stature, but if you look up online, I believe a very popular song at the time, Im Tiefen Keller, is a song that he wrote and is still around today and sung by Bassi Profundi every now and then. Yes.
And you, as a bass, are also a composer.
That is true. I am.
And you have composed, among other things, a song cycle.
That's, yes. Matter of fact, I think we have a selection from it here. It's a song cycle called Four Square Cathedral, and this is set to text of a Minnesota poet named Todd Boss, a wonderful poet, and Wisconsin-born, but lives in Minneapolis now. And it is a setting of five songs of his from his debut album of poetry called Yellow Rocket. And I believe this song is called My House is Small and Almost. And yeah, that's what it is.
My house is small and almost 100 years old. Inside, the oaken posts and friends pronounce it comfortable. It's 1910 that comforts them, and nothing I have done.
That's certainly a lovely application of a bass voice there.
Well, that was me singing. And
Did we not mention that?
And Kevin Korth at the piano, a wonderful, wonderful collaborative pianist.
Well, we have time for one more before we get into our quiz question. And this title sounds like something out of La Gazza Ladra or something, the Swipe Serenade.
It is. This is one of a series of bagatelles that I wrote for a string quartet. It's performed here by the Talia String Quartet in San Francisco. They're absolutely amazing. And these pieces were inspired by the work of Eric Satie, actually.
In terms of the capriciousness, you could say eccentricity or what?
Yes, absolutely. One of my favorite pieces of his is the set of piano pieces that he wrote pour divertissement to accompany the pictures and all the idiosyncratic sort of instructions that he leaves within that. And so the Swipe Serenade is all of these short pieces are picturesque. And so here the players are swiping their strings and there's a brief serenade that emerges from the texture.
Thank you.
Well, that was fun.
Thanks. It's always gratifying when you write something that the players have fun playing. So.
Yeah, I could tell that they did, too. So that was the Swipe Serenade from it was a string quartet.
Bagatelles for string quartet called Diversions.
And from a versatile musician that we have in the midday today, have had playing Asmin in The Abduction from the Seraglio, Matt Bowler.
It's fine, just
Bowler,
like that.
Yes. Matt Bowler also going to be bowling some people over as Asmin in The Abduction from the Seraglio.
We certainly hope.
Which is a production of the Madison Opera this Friday, February 9th, 8 o'clock, and Sunday, the 11th at 2:30 in the Capitol Theater, Overture Center for the Arts in Madison, the kind of breakthrough opera for Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart.
Absolutely. He wrote it as a young man, and he was flexing his muscles, and he had some wonderful singers at his disposal, and he made a big splash. As I remember hearing actually yesterday, I did not know this, we had a talk back with our general director, Catherine Smith, over at Madison Opera, and she pointed out that this opera, Abduction, was more successful, like, for him, like, as far as number of productions, than anything else that he produced. And it just was not known for several years after, because of the Da Ponte operas became more well known and put into the repertoire.
That's apparently true. It was quite a successful opera, although Mozart, being Mozart, managed not to do too well from it financially.
No, he get something like an original payout of like, you know, $5 and a Kit Kat or something? I don't know.
Yeah, two Kit Kats maybe. Yeah. Well, Matt Bowler, thanks for stopping by and giving us some insight into Mozart and the opera and your own compositions and performances.
It has been a pleasure to be here. Thank you.